You're listening to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me at DuncanSmithNBA, and you can find my work on PistonPowered.com. Go ahead and follow that at PistonPowered as well. This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an app that you can download to your phone. You can use it to find great value tickets for sporting events and concerts and shows, and you can use the deal score feature to find where your best value in a given section or with a given ticket is across the secondary market. SeatGeek is a ticket aggregator, so it really simplifies the process of finding tickets to the events that you want to go to. If you download the app, go to the settings tab, enter the code LO Pistons, that lets them know that you came from us, and it saves you $20 on your first purchase. So it's a win-win for everybody involved. So please go to SeatGeek and utilize the SeatGeek app. It has been a crazy week here, draft week in the NBA. Over the course of the weekend, of course, as everybody who's listening to this surely knows by now, the Boston Celtics and the 76ers made a deal swapping the Celtics' first pick overall for the Sixers' third pick overall and a future draft pick. It seems as though that might have been the domino that got the ball rolling across the league. Paul George told the Pacers that he wasn't going to come back after this season. And of course, the trade market has been percolating there. No deal has come forth, but sometimes just the momentum of a deal can get other deals going and cause a chain reaction. It looks like that might be a situation that's taken place across the NBA. One trade that did go down that had some early potential Piston ties, at least in the fan base and on Twitter. This deal involved the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers were interested in acquiring a draft pick. They were looking at maybe in the top 12, which certainly catches Pistons fans' attention because the Pistons have the 12th overall draft pick. The Lakers were interested in moving D'Angelo Russell as part of a deal to get that draft pick. From the sounds of it, they offered the Dallas Mavericks Russell for the 9th pick, and the Mavs declined. So there wasn't really any interest among lottery teams for D'Angelo Russell. They did find a taker, though, in the Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers sent D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to the Nets in exchange for the Nets' 27th pick in this draft and Brook Lopez. So essentially, the Nets have picked up a young backcourt player, and they've sent an expiring contract in the form of Brook Lopez and the 27th draft pick back to the Lakers. While this takes Russell off of the trade market for the Pistons' interests, it might actually make things a little bit more intriguing for the Pistons going forward. It's been no secret that the Nets have had their eyes on KCP, on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, all season. Earlier this year, they indicated that they were interested in making him their top free agent priority. Of course, the Pistons can match any offer, and they've indicated that they'll match all the way up to the max, which would make such an offer from the Nets a little bit less appealing on their part. If they know that the Pistons are going to match that number, they might not want to utilize a big portion of their cap space. They're going to have, right now, they're going to have $28 million in cap space if they were to renounce the cap holds of KJ McDaniels and Randy Foy. If they waive all non or partially guaranteed contracts, they can get that up to $37 million. So they do have the space to offer KCP a max contract, which would be in the neighborhood of $26 million. But if they offer and the Pistons take the full 72 hours to opt to max the contract, in which case Caldwell Pope stays with the Pistons, or to let KCP walk for nothing. That's three full days that the Nets will not be able to use any of that cap money in order to go get other guys. Basically, they're gambling that the Pistons will not back up their intention to match whatever it takes to keep him. And that might be a big gamble for them if they do have other guys that that they might aim to go after in restricted free agency. What makes this a little bit less appealing for the Nets as well is that D'Angelo Russell was being looked at by the Lakers before this move as playing off the ball, as playing the two guard next to most likely Lonzo Ball. And if that's in the plans for the Brooklyn Nets, maybe the Nets now have their two guard of the future, and it makes KCP that much less interesting. They have an incumbent point guard in Jeremy Lin. When he was on the floor last season, the Nets were actually pretty reasonable. He played the bulk of the games after the All-Star break, and the Nets were just a bit below 500. They had a competitive net rating. So maybe the Nets have the backcourt they want, and maybe KCP is no longer a prime target. Next season, as far as the Nets' outlook going forward, next season Jeremy Lin has a player option worth $12.5 million, and the Nets have team options on Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Caris LeVert, and D'Angelo Russell's team option is next year as well. So those are all contracts that the Nets can excise if they so choose, aside from Jeremy Lin, of course. And we'll certainly have to see how this season plays out for him as to whether we'll get an inkling of whether he's going to be interested in exercising his option, or if he'll walk, or what the situation will be there. So all this in mind, the Nets might be a little bit less inclined, or significantly less inclined, to make KCP their target. The team that now becomes a bigger threat for KCP's services would be the 76ers. They're in line to significantly upgrade their backcourt. It's a foregone conclusion that they're going to draft Markel Fultz with the first overall draft pick. He'll become their starting point guard. And they don't really have a viable option at the two right now. With apologies to Michigan star Nick Stauskas. So KCP may be an enticing target for them. They have virtually infinite cap space. They've got no shortage of cap space right now, with everybody being on cheap rookie deals or cheap non-guaranteed contracts. But the toll of gathering these young lottery assets is going to kick in next season, for sure. Joel Embiid is going to be, again, a foregone conclusion to get a max contract in 2018-19, so that'll be next summer. Ben Simmons and Dario Saric will be hitting restricted free agency in 2020 and 2021. So we're 3 years away from Simmons and Saric both potentially getting big paydays themselves. By that point, the Sixers could have a huge cap total, threatening the luxury tax, perhaps, and that's even without a maxed KCP. So it does kind of beg the question, for a team that hasn't done a whole lot of winning in the past decade or so, with an uncertain future. Again, Joel Embiid has played 31 NBA games. Ben Simmons has played no NBA games. Dario Saric is a Rookie of the Year candidate, but on a team like the Sixers, he may have simply been, like this phrase that I love to use, he may have been very little more than a looter and a riot. We don't really know if he's going to be of any significant use on a competitive team. So if you're paying all these guys this kind of money, is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, $103 million over the next four seasons, something that the Sixers are really eager to go do? You know, we're going to find that out pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. but it does really beg the reason, it begs the question to ask if the Sixers want to make him their first big ticket chip, really. They may. You know, he would fit really well in a backcourt with a talented rookie like Markel Fultz. You know, much like with the Pistons, KCP would guard the stronger offensive opponent, and Fultz could be hidden on the weaker option. It's certainly enticing, but that price tag is significant, and you have to think that if the Sixers or the Nets were to throw a smaller offer, even something like $20 million, the Pistons would pretty quickly and pretty eagerly offer. This might also be a thing that KCP and his agent are aware of. Of course, the Pistons are going to be aware of all contingencies, and this is surely something that they're pondering right now as well. Well, earlier this season, when Caldwell Pope was really thriving over the first half of the year or so, I suggested that maybe rather than having to simply match a max contract from another team, maybe what the Pistons would do is be proactive and give him a deal that would give him more years for a little bit more money, but a discount over those years. So rather than a 4-year, $106 million, an average of a bit over $26 million per season, maybe the Pistons would give him a 5-year contract worth $110 million. So they get an extra year, but they're only paying him $22 million per season. You know, if it's kind of accepted knowledge that the max restricted free agent offers are not necessarily going to be there for KCP, maybe again the Pistons can take this a step further and continue to offer him the longer term deal, but maybe again get a small savings on an annual yearly rate. So maybe instead of 5 years and 110, maybe they can get it down to 5 years and $95 million, something like that. It's just something to give them a little better value, and this way we never have to go to restricted free agency. We never have to find out what kind of mega offer might be waiting. And it's a gamble on both sides. You know, if the Pistons were to offer him a deal like this, and then we were to find out later that the Nets and the Sixers were both completely uninterested in offering anything large like that, you know, maybe the Pistons will overplay their hand. But it's going to be a gamble on basically all parties' parts, and it's going to be really interesting to see. Hopefully for the Pistons' sake, they come up with the most cost-effective option, and it's something that makes the cap situation, which either way, any way you look at it, is going to be grim. Maybe they can come up with a solution that makes it a little bit less foreboding going forward. So that's my theory on how the Nets and Lakers trade may affect Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's future. Some news that we didn't get to yesterday. It's actually pretty big news, and it really reflects on how insane the NBA was across the board yesterday. The Pistons' way is essentially clear to move into Little Caesars Arena, thanks to a ruling Monday night that rejected a request to block funding for the Pistons to move into Little Caesars Arena. And Tuesday, city council vote that went down 7-2 in favor of funding $34.5 million towards the Pistons' move into Little Caesars Arena and towards constructing a practice facility and team facility in the New Center area of Detroit. That was approved by city council, so it sure looks like the obstacles are out of the way here. I am no legal expert, to say the least, but from the looks of things, the Pistons are on track The NBA's Board of Governors will vote on July 11th. That is likely to be the final date that that should lock everything into place. And you know, while again it's been a mostly foregone conclusion, aside from the past few days, really, that the Pistons would pretty easily be moved into Little Caesars Arena, it looks like obstacles are out of the way, and we're just a few weeks away from making it official. We have no news on the Chauncey Billups to the Cavaliers new issue. There's nothing really to report on that. We're going to keep an eye on it. I'm sure that we're all rooting for Chauncey Billups for things to work out in his best interests. As I mentioned yesterday, I think that it's a fairly unforgiving role to be the general manager of a team led by LeBron James. You get all the criticism and you get none of the credit. And the kicker for this is you get to work for Dan Gilbert, which is certainly doesn't seem to be a thing that goes well for general managers or presidents of basketball operations, which I think is what Chauncey would be in line for. Things just don't tend to go well for people in that role working for Dan Gilbert. As for Aron Baynes, he did opt out yesterday, but Stan Van Gundy hasn't ruled out his return. It's possible that maybe something could be worked out where he comes back even for a discount, perhaps. We're going to have to wait and see what the free agent market bears for him, but with how all the big money center free agent deals have turned out from last season, it's very possible that teams are going to be, especially with less money to spend, it's very possible that teams are going to be a little bit more prudent in giving out their big contracts to backup centers. So, much like the situation with KCP, where more years, more guaranteed money, but spread out annually for a small discount, might actually work in the Pistons' favor. So he would have been due $6.5 million this season, but he would have had no contract going forward after this year. Maybe something can be worked out where the Pistons sign him for 2 years with a player option in the third, something like that, $15 million over three seasons, perhaps. So the Pistons could get a small discount, and then they could perhaps move Boban Marjanovic, who never really seemed to get the trust of Stan Van Gundy in that backup role. So the option is there. He was great in the locker room, by all accounts. He's a team favorite. He's better than most fans give him credit for defensively. He's not a huge drag offensively. And if the Pistons could get him for cheap, give him some guaranteed money, set him up for his future, and also set the Pistons up for depth in a way that could save them money when they really need to be saving money, you know, that could be something that works out for everybody. By all accounts, again, he loves it in Detroit as well, in addition to his teammates being very fond of him. And, of course, Stan Van Gundy might be his biggest fan. So it could be something that works out. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Tomorrow's draft day, so the accumulation of all of this craziness might finally be upon us. Whether there'll be trades to come or not, you know, it remains to be seen. There's really no smoke coming out from the Pistons right now. There's no real buzz other than the fact that the 12th pick is certainly on the table. But you know, there's not any noise. There's not any indication that the Pistons are trying to make a move, which kind of makes me suspicious. You know, at the trade deadline, there's all sorts of talk and noise about the Pistons being willing to trade everybody. Nobody's untouchable. They're shopping Andre Drummond. They're shopping Reggie. KCP could be had. There's all this buzz and all this noise. And, you know, nothing happened. And it made sense for nothing to happen then. And, of course, it makes sense for nothing to happen now as well, simply because the roster is so gridlocked. But the NBA is a league where strange things can happen at a moment's notice. The Atlanta Hawks yesterday traded Dwight Howard for a worse player and a worse draft pick. and didn't get cap relief. You know, there are inconsistencies in evaluations between teams, and there is always potential of a deal where a team thinks it's getting what it wants and ends up getting fleeced, perhaps, like the Orlando Magic were two trade deadlines ago when the Pistons traded the shell of, the expiring contracts of Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova to the Orlando Magic for Tobias Harris, who last season was the Pistons' best player, pretty much unequivocally. So the fact that there's no news, no noise coming from the Pistons, it shouldn't really be an indictment. It shouldn't really be something that gives you excitement or hope, because usually when there's no sign of anything, it just means there's nothing there. But with Van Gundy's track record at trade deadline type moments, it definitely does kind of give me pause. And I've got nothing to go on here. I've got no evidence for you. I have no idea what could be in store. But I just wouldn't be shocked if there's something brewing. So, I'm willing to eat my words, and these are not exactly strong words that that I think maybe there's something. But maybe there is. I wouldn't rule it out. The silence makes me suspicious. So that's it for today. We're gonna be back at you tomorrow with draft day edition. We could have some real craziness by then, if not for the Pistons, certainly for the rest of the NBA. If nothing else, we'll certainly have a recap of who the Pistons could be looking to draft, if they even still own that draft pick tomorrow. So, once again, please go to our sponsor, SeatGeek, go to the settings tab, enter the coupon code LOPISTONS, save yourself $20 off your first purchase. Give us a 5-star rating, and if you throw a player name into that 5-star rating, on Friday and on every Friday, I'll do a breakdown of that player. So get that 5-star review in, and we'll have some time to prepare for a good breakdown of whoever you want. You know, whether it happened to be Ben Gordon, which is unfortunately appropriate for draft season, whether it be Will Bynum, whether it be Chauncey Billups. If you do Chauncey Billups, I'd be thrilled, because, while he's also poised to become my favorite NBA general manager, he's also probably my favorite player ever. So, you'd be doing me a real favor if you give the podcast a 5-star review and threw Chauncey on for 5-star Friday. So that's something we hope to get started this week. That's it for now. We'll talk to you tomorrow.